Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
Steve Stone on baseball, brought to you by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants, and here he is.
I think it'll be Shaw's tonight, folks. I think that's probably a good plan on this and off day. We don't get many of these, so a nice dinner to be had, and that'll probably do it.
Within 24 hours of you saying go to Shaw's, I go to Shaw's. It's sort of like an Obi-Wan Kenobi move. Like, you will go to Shaw's and you will enjoy it, and then I do. And that it just happens within 48 hours.
Well, that's good. Very nice.
It's one of the great traditions, too, in this town. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like one of the, it's got that room where you walk into, mm-hmm. There's two rooms at Shaw's.
The fancy room.
The one downtown. You got the sort of the fancy one that you feel like you're at the Brown Derby in Los Angeles in 1948.
Yeah.
And then they've got that, you know, really cool kind of New Orleans
the
bar.
Live music.
Yeah, with live music. And
like, you know, Zydeco music or some jazz
and
band.
An oyster bar. It's really, that's great.
The best.
Very nice.
You know what? And it's a good, like, you know, people, you know, it's been there forever. It's steady. It is steady.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nice thing about
always
it.
Always packed.
All right. Okay. Well, now let's talk a little bit about this moment here. You got an off day. What are your thoughts right now in terms of what we should be looking for as you head into August, you head into September? You're going to have some people coming up now in September from the minors. What should White Sox fans be excited about? What should they be going to the ballpark for?
Well, I think one of the things is to take a look at the progress of some of the young guys who appear to be the guys that they're going to use for building blocks. And I say appear because you never really know who's going to want some of the guys that you believe are your future, and are you a better team after you decide to move them. And I'm not telling you any of these guys are going to be moved, because it doesn't appear they're the kind of guys who do get moved at the trade deadline, which, as we know, is a very short time from now. But I'm talking about probably the emergence and maybe the guys taking the next step. Tim Anderson, for one, defensively has really turned things around. He's starting to play really solid shortstop. And occasionally you can see the flashes of the bat that's going to be. I think he's going to be a huge factor. I think this is just the start of what could be a very strong offensive player. I think he can do a lot of things. Anytime you can combine the ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark and steal as many bases as he can, I think you've got yourself an exciting player, and Tim is going to be one of those. I think Yoan Moncada has gotten better during the course of the season. Everybody would like to see him be a Mike Trout type of player, but he's still very young, and he doesn't have what Trout had at his age. And one of the reasons is that Mike Trout didn't have to assimilate into a society that he didn't know a great deal about. Mike Trout was from New Jersey. And yes, some would say, yes, it is a society he doesn't know much about. But
that being said,
he's come on and you know, he's one of the true stars of our game. And you're not going to see the like of him too often. But Moncada has made some strides during the course of the season. He's played a better defense lately. I think Ricky Renteria probably got across to him that was one of the areas of his game he'd have to pick up the concentration and the focus, because the skills are there. You can tell the hands are good enough, and he's got a strong enough arm, and he moves real well. He made just a fantastic play in the field yesterday. To go with a bat that is getting a bit better, I think we're seeing with more right-handed bats, we've seen the right-handed stroke come along to try to even match what he's done from the left side, which has been pretty good. So you look at a guy that probably can hit 25 home runs and steal 30 bags or 35 bags. Moncada can do that. Anderson can certainly do that. So it looks like if these guys continue to do what they've done, which is pick up the middle infield play, they're going to be a real exciting double play combination for a lot of years to come. Then, with the configuration of this ball club, you would think, at least until proven otherwise, that Jose Abreu would stay with the White Sox, because he means so much to this ball club in the clubhouse with the young Latino players. And he's a guy that you can look at and say, look, this is the way you do it. This is how to be a professional player. Just do what Jose Abreu does every day, and you guys are going to be in good shape. And because of the proliferation of young Latino players in not only the major league roster, but the organization, I think we're seeing a need for a player like Abreu, and why not Jose? Let him stay around. He is the guy that everybody respects. He goes about his business professionally. Yeah, you'd like to see a few more points on the batting average or a couple more home runs and runs batted in, but he's just starting to feel it now, and I expect the last couple of months of the season will be very productive for Jose. So those two guys especially. And then, you know, take a look. Maybe Nicky Delmonico, coming back off a broken finger, maybe he can show enough offensive punch to be in the mix because he's a left-handed bat. The Sox certainly need left-handed difference makers, and Nicky hasn't had enough at-bats right now since coming back off the DL to fully judge what he can do, but he is starting to hit the ball out of the ballpark, and he's picked up a triple or so on the way, so that's pretty good. You have to respect what he's done coming back off the DL, so he's one of the guys to take a look at. And other guys have pieces that you might need. For instance, if this becomes a really good team, they already have the two really good swingmen in Leury Garcia and Yoelmer Sanchez. These guys ideally wouldn't be starting for a team that's in contention for postseason play, but they would certainly be great contributors. You're going to need players like them when you get good, so you have them already. You don't have to go out and look for guys like Yoelmer and Leury. They can do a lot of different things. They swing the bat from both sides of the plate. They swing it well. In the case of Leury, he's got great speed. He's got a very strong arm. Yoelmer has a great baseball acumen. So those guys, to me, would be worthwhile to keep around until you get to the point where they can be your fourth outfielder, your fifth infielder. Those are the ideal situation for both of those guys. And so those are the things that I would look for. And as far as arms are concerned, you know, watching Rodon get better and better with every start has been terrific. So it's almost a must view when he goes to the mound because he's that good and he's going to be a whole lot better. Giolito would like to get some consistency, as would Lopez. Those are young guys that at least are penciled in for consideration for the future. So some of the building blocks are here. Some of the ones are coming up. I don't know exactly who it's going to be. You'd have to think that eventually Kopech and Eloy Jimenez are going to be here. It's just a question of one. I don't think they'll be here before September, but hopefully in September we'll take a look at them, and that'll be a little bit more exciting. But
August is
always a tough month.
Yeah, now, but the thing at the beginning of the season, you were dubious about Eloy Jimenez coming up this year at all because he has advanced so dramatically in the minors. Mm-hmm. You're yes. anticipating he'll be here?
I think that there's a very good chance that he will be here in September. And, you know, when you talk about advanced, he hasn't exactly advanced. He's just killed pitchers wherever he's gone. So when you look at some of the numbers that he's put up and realize that he keeps on getting better with every step, then you look at the numbers that he's put together in AAA, and you realize that there's nobody there who can do anything to negate his prowess offensively. You'd have to think that there's not a whole lot left for him to prove. Yeah, you'd like to see him stay healthy over the longer period, but, you know, once a minor league season ends, there's nothing for him except for a September call-up, if that's the case. And, you know, it could very well be that they bring him up in September. I'd like to take a look at him. I think the fans would like to.
Yeah,
but,
I think so.
But, you know,
I think
yeah,
you
but,
might get
you know,
a sellout for his first game. I think you might.
Yeah.
He's that kind of he's there's a legend that is preceding him already.
Well, I mean, he's just everybody who has seen him any level he's gone to, whether it was the hitting school that the Sox put on last offseason, he went there and just dazzled some people. In spring training, everything was the same. And every stop he's made in the minor leagues, he has dazzled people. And so, you know, this is a guy that that I think probably has taken all the at-bats that he's gotten this year, made the most of them, and probably due for a change. Who knows what it's going to be exactly. I don't know. You know, there's no timetable on anybody. But hopefully we'll get a chance to see him.
So, anyway, when you look at the 25-man roster as it's consisting right now, are there guys on there that maybe we didn't expect to see this year that are kind of playing their way into maybe a future spot here? I guess I think of Daniel Polka as the first one that comes to mind.
Well, certainly you've got yourself a guy that's probably best suited as a designated hitter against right-hand pitchers. And believe me, if they throw him anything down, he just kills it. So I think he's one of the guys that is very much a bona fide surprise. And another surprise, I mean, a guy that nobody could have predicted he's doing what he's done is Omar Narvaez. I mean, Narvaez, the better part of the last 2 months, 7 weeks to 2 months, he's been the best hitting catcher in baseball. He's hit well over 400. Nobody would have expected him to do that. Plus, he's hitting for some power. I mean, he's hit four home runs. He does keep on hitting the ball hard. He's pulling the ball now, which is something he didn't look like he could do a whole lot of last year and early this season. But all of a sudden, he's come around and gotten better and better. And so he's certainly in the mix. I mean, you'd have to take a guy swinging the bat as well as he's swinging it and say, you know what, as a left-handed counterpart for whoever is swinging the bat from the right side as a catcher, this guy looks like he's got a chance. And then, you know, there's Zach Collins. Obviously, he's a guy that everybody looks to as a future of this organization behind the plate, but you can't overlook Omar and what he's done this year. He's done it against major league competition, some of the better pitchers around. He keeps on hitting, and no let up in sight, judging by the way he played over the weekend.
Can we talk a little bit about Jim Thome going into the Hall of Fame?
His speech yesterday, so emotional. Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts too, Steve. You know, when he said, I can't believe this is me, 13th round draft pick out of Central Illinois. Here's this guy from Peoria, just as gracious can be. And a lot of people just know him as being one of the nicest guys ever to play the game.
Well, he is that, and he's been that way from the beginning. I mean, I knew Jim back when he was with Cleveland, just coming up. He was the same exact guy just coming up as he is now. He hasn't changed one iota. He's been a strong family man, a guy that values family above all else, a guy that put together this wonderful career. When you looked at where he came from, I mean, this guy was a slugger. He was a third baseman, was a slugger. You didn't look much about his fielding. You wondered, you know, yeah, he could certainly hit the ball out of the ballpark, but, you know, just how much was he going to hit? And when you take a look at it, almost 1,700 runs batted in, 612 home runs. You look at the sum total of what he's accomplished, and it's staggering. And yet you see other guys who have done what he's done, gotten to the pinnacle that he's gotten to, and you don't recognize them from the humble beginnings. But Jim is not that guy. Jim is the same guy today, and that's really a testament to him. He's been a delight everywhere he's gone. He's one of those guys that the teammates just love. The city he's in benefits from him being there because he and his family have been wonderful with them. I mean, it's a remarkable story, and it continues to go on. And the Sox are very happy to have him as part of their organization now. And I know that he's just so well respected everywhere.
Well, it's a very cool thing. He played in major leagues for 22 years, and you know, most notably Cleveland, right? Mm-hmm. And then and he was, you know, with the White Sox for a number of years. But he maintains his home here in Chicago. He very famously was one of those houses, like whether he lived in the city for a couple of years, and he's been out in the western suburbs. Mm-hmm. He's one of those houses you got to go to at Halloween. You're told if you live near him, like everybody in the neighborhood knows.
He gives out the full candy bars.
Right. Full candy bars, giving away like cars. It's like crazy. I mean, he's great to the community. He's great. It's great to have him within the White Sox organization too, because he's one of those guys. To, you know, as many guys as you can have who are Hall of Famers that other players can look up to and go, that's who I want to be. That's how I want to live my life. That's the way I want to be seen as a professional. Jim Thome is just that personified. So,
yeah, the sad part about it is that we have a lot of bad publicity, and we're seeing more from guys who make careless tweets over the course of their lives. And they come out, you know, from 7, 8, 9 years ago, whatever the tweets come out, and they're terribly embarrassing for the game and for that player, certainly. And then you see on the other side of the equation, you see Jim Thome, and you take a look at what he's done in his life and how he's ingratiated himself with every community he's ever played in, and the fact that he is a huge part of the Chicago landscape at this point. Right. And you realize that, yeah, you can point to that guy and say he is everything you would want a professional player to be. And you can take parents of kids who are just starting their careers, they're not professionals yet, and they're saying, you know what? When you grow up and play, you want to be just like that guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy you want to be like. He's an object lesson to all the parents of all the kids playing sports on every level. And it's not just guys. It's girls playing big-time sports also. That's the guy you want to emulate. You want your career to be like him. You want to have no bad ever said about you in any aspect, and Jim doesn't. You can't find anybody to tell you anything bad about him. I think you'd have to look forever and still not find one, but it is a testament to him and his family is how he's carried himself, and the people who raised him also, the Thomes who raised him from a very little baseball player to what he is today. It's a testament to that upbringing also, and the fact that apparently they raised him very well in Peoria.
Yeah, thanks very much. Appreciate it, Steve. Steve Stone on Baseball, guys. Brought to you by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Let's find out right now. Thank you. From Ryan, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Yeah, we've got new information on the Obama Library and when it will finally begin construction.
Never defunded. No? Violetta?